I want to tell you about something I've used and I truly believe in. Replayer. It's a sideline camera built for youth sports. Just set it up, hit record, and it captures the entire game automatically. No chasing the ball, no holding your phone, just hands-free, stress-free recording. The in-game tagging is one of my favorite features. One tap, and you can mark a big goal, ankle-breaking moves, or a clutch tackle. Then pull those clips for later for review, highlights, or social media. And the live streaming's next level. A buddy of mine actually watched his son's game while flying cross country at 30,000 feet. That blew me away. If you're a parent or coach at the field every weekend, Replayer is a game changer. Head to replayer.com. That's Replayer.com. And I think you'll be amazed. Hey, soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of Team Player's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give Team Player a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order.
Hey everyone, this is Ian Babcock, your host of Chat by the Pitch. This is something I'm going to keep this very short and very simple this week. I have several interviews lined up. I did not get approval in time from my latest guest, but this is a big deal. I had 75 episodes last week. In my mind, this is really my 75th episode because my first episode doesn't count. But this is my 76th episode of my podcast. I'm 24 away from 100, which is a big deal to me. I didn't think I'd make it this far, to be honest. And I thought I would share where my train of thought is right now for this podcast and moving forward and what's going on with everything else. So I've been toying with the idea lately of how to explain ego. And there's three egos. There's player-centric ego, there's coach-centric ego, and there's parent-centric ego. Where do we fall as parents or as a coach? Where does our ego fall? And this is where my mind has been for weeks. I've been putting into a little bit of episodes and putting it out there and seeing how it works and trying to see how it falls. And at the end of the day, where do we sit with player-centric ego? I'm going to go over what this means because to me, it's all about our player. It's all about them being developed. It's all we care about is making sure our player is being elevated to the next phase. And that doesn't mean they're on a winning team or they're winning. That means they're truly grinding it out. Soccer is not a sprint. It's a triathlon. It's a marathon, whatever you want to call it. You have to remember, players peak at 20, what age? 27-ish, 26. They peak. If your player's 6 right now, they have 20 years to peak. That's a long ways away. I think Messi said it the best. It's like 17 years and so many days to become an overnight sensation. It took him that many years. At the end of the day, this is not about being on a winning team. This is not about anything else. When it comes to our players, we as parents need to teach what a foundation is to them, what it means to have the correct touch. When you start watching these national team players, right now we have the Copa Americas and the Euros, how many of them have a phenomenal first touch? Now look at our players. How many of them have a phenomenal first touch? I don't care what age you're talking about. I'll probably say 90% of them do not have a great touch. And if you're below the age of 10, most of them probably don't have a great first touch. Very few will. And that's okay. Do you know what we talk about in our house that we love about soccer so much? The game is not perfect. So we as parents need to back off. We need to back off and stop worrying about ourselves. We need to back off and stop worrying about the coach. But what we need to worry about is our player. And are they having fun doing this beautiful game? This goes back to the player-centric ego. If our players are being the focus in a positive light and wanting to do this and wanting to play soccer or play whatever sport it is, they have to want it. Their want, their love has to be greater than yours. Are we giving them the tools to build a great foundation? Are we giving them the tools to build a foundation that's stable through time? Only you can answer that as a parent. So if you're truly your player-centric ego and truly care about them, what hardware they bring home from whatever league or tournament they go to shouldn't matter. Is it nice to have that shiny object that they win? Yeah, I will not lie. But does that build your player up or does that build you up? Because at the younger ages, is it really about winning or is it truly about developing them? I think my favorite interview regarding this is Dennis Gines' interview. And he talks about the number of games that matter. So let's say you play 50 games, 8 of them, I think it was, it comes out to be, that are for value. The other 42 matches you played in that year are truly for development. Unfortunately, here in the United States, we have the pay-to-play model. There, they're playing in 50 games. It's paid for by whatever club they're associated with. But even with the pay-to-play model, where do we see our player 1 year down the road? 6 months, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 10 years from now? Where is their foundation going to be? What are we going to do to motivate them to be the next, whatever your player's name? And fans are cheering for them when they step onto the pitch. Or if they're away game, fans are booing them because they don't want them there because they are so talented that they're scared their team will lose because they're there. As parents, we have to put the emphasis on what's important. From a very young age with my son, we've made it very clear we don't care if he's on a winning team. We only care if he's improving week by week, month by month, day by day, year by year, if he's slowly getting better. It's funny, he just wants to play the game. And I think as he gets older, that perspective has to change. It has to drive into wanting to win. I'm not saying he doesn't want to win now. I'm just saying he just wants to play the game. He loves playing soccer so much That's all that matters to him. Now, the next phase of this model that we're going to talk about is playing to develop. And this goes back to the coach ego. Is it towards your player or is it towards him? How many coaches do we know only talk about the wins they have? They don't talk about the hard losses. They don't talk about the losses, or they don't care about the losses. We as parents have to make a choice when we're talking to our coach. Is the coach more concerned about what his reputation is as a winning coach? Or is to know that when little Johnny or little Susie goes out into the world, that they have set that player up for success. They have truly developed that player to be a phenomenal player. When they go, so where did you learn that from? They can say, Coach so-and-so. I can tell you my son will tell you exactly who teaches him what. And he's very proud of this, give coaches the credit. To me, that coach has player-centric. If they were coach-centric ego, it's about what they can post on social media. So a coach that posts what hardware they're bringing home every weekend, you might want to think twice. Or what teams they've beaten, you might want to think twice. Now, parent-centric ego. This is the pride of us parents. If we can go out and say, I love boasting about how talented my son is, but I will also say where he sits as a reality in my mind. And that's my opinion of my son. But at the end of the day, I want him to be successful. I want him to move to the next phase. I can go ask three friends right now, what's the most question I ask them? And it's normally how to help my son to be more self-motivated. It's not even that. It's to want to go play by himself. And I can't want to play this game more than he does. He has to want it. My daughter loves to play soccer, but I think it's just having fun to her still. But that's the thing. What is the priority? And going into this tryout season that we've had, I feel like we've had a cakewalk. We've talked to several coaches. We've tried out with a couple of teams. We've talked to several parents on the teams. And hearing what the coach has to say and how excited he was to see my son come out and try out and changed his perspective on tryouts to a degree, it was nice to hear. I'm not saying his old coaches are bad people. It's just not the right fit for him. And I think that's the problem. We left a winning team to an unknown team in my mind. And my son was playing a year up. And the only reason we looked at it because we were asked to go back to age. And if we're going back to age, we need to see what's out there and what's in the best interest of our player. And there's several factors that played into this. But at the end of the day, it's looking out what's in the best interest for my player. Physically, mentally, emotionally, what will help him be built up to the next layer? And it's funny because I can tell you every coach he's had has some type of good or bad build in his soccer development. And it doesn't matter. Every coach, you can learn something great, and every coach, you can get something bad out of. It's a matter of perspective. And looking for what they have done to build them up, like I can tell you there's some great coaches that can develop players, truly develop players to go to the next level. But what at what cost? And that's the question you have to ask. Now, I don't want to take up too much time because it's me rambling, I feel. But we as parents have to take a step back and look at what we're doing and what phase we're at with our players. So U12 and younger, or U11 and U11 and younger, in my mind, you're training to train. You're teaching your players to go to practice and how to train and building those foundations. U12 to U14, you're training to develop. So you're learning how to build team tactics, individual tactics. And then when you get to U15, you're training to win. We're the only country in the world I feel like winning at all cost matters. It's great to post that, but if we forget what phases we're at with our players, they're not going to miss something big. And I always find it funny, you listen to anyone talk about, it's always bigger, faster, stronger players. What happens when those bigger, faster, stronger players finally has everyone catching up to them? They're no longer bigger, faster, stronger players. They're just an average player with no skills because no one has developed them because they could just run the field. Are we having those players now, and we're seeing those players now on the field struggling, and they fall out of love with the game because they're no longer the star? I think this is where Wilco talked about the squad system is so important because it allows a kid to move through a squad, different squads within the same age group. And they might be a star in one team and a support player in another. And it's just a matter of who they are. Me as a parent, all I care about right now is my son learning the skills he needs to learn and proper techniques to get him to the next phase of his soccer skills, soccer journey. And what is his IQ for soccer? We as parents are the only ones that can control this. We can only dictate this. The last thing I'd like to touch on is mental health. And this is a very touchy topic because this goes back to development, player development of our players. If we're building our players the proper foundation, the stresses of the game shouldn't matter. We as parents shouldn't be, I'm guilty of this, and I will say it over and over again, laying too hard into our players. I don't expect my son to be perfect. I've always told him that. All I ask him to do is to, when he goes out there to go train, it's for a 90-minute session, go train like it's for 2 hours. Go put all the energy you have like you're training for 2 hours. I was talking to a sports psychologist and he goes, the thing they hate the most is that parents say, give me 110%. It's not feasible to go train more than your body can handle. But you can go train like it's going to be a longer time frame than you're supposed to be out there. So you might be a little bit more reserved in what you do, but you're training to be playing longer. Go play like it's a 90-minute match in 60 minutes. Or go train like it's a 60-minute match in 90 minutes or something like that. So they know that they have to work very hard and very efficiently to go to the next level. Soccer Dave really changed my vocabulary as a parent, and I'm struggling with it to this day. It's how do we have words of encouragement for our younger players? And it's a fine line between being words of encouragement and then browbeating. And we as parents have to have that open conversation. I did an experiment with my son this past year. And every week I just laid into him a little bit harder about stuff, especially school, soccer. And finally he turned to me one day, goes, Dad, this is enough. And I go, son, I go, son, thank you. He thought he was going to be mad at him. And I'm here thanking him. And we have a very open conversation now. Very open conversation now about soccer. He can tell me, Dad, this is too much, and we'll quickly change the topic to whatever what's on his mind. And we'll talk about that and not soccer. We as parents can help build and break our players just like a coach can in that car ride home. I tried very hard for a long time before we got in the car, talk to him about what was going on the pitch. And the whole reason why, because I didn't want the car ride to be about that. Instead, I have learned we can have a conversation about it. And I can lay into him about certain things. And then the whole entire conversation ends and we don't talk about it anymore. And that's because we have that relationship now where he knows that he won't get in trouble for telling me to back off. When you're having coaches now, this is where it gets tricky and hard because there's an old school mentality. When I was talking to a coach, they really pointed out that there's different forms of coaching. Here in America, we have lots of different forms of coaching, and most of our coaches did not have soccer coaches as coaches, they had football coaches. And football coaching is different than the rest of the world's soccer coaches. And there's a fine line between breaking kids and bringing them to the line of being broken versus elevating players when they are broken. And if a coach feels like they have to break your kid in order to bring them to the next phase, think long and hard about that. How much are they going to love the game if they break them? And if I hear one more time from a coach saying, like, if you can break them down, then build them back up. If you never build them back up as a coach and you constantly are breaking them down, they'll never love the game. They'll become frustrated and upset with the game and walk away. We as parents do the same thing. When you're looking for a coach, go watch them. Go watch them play. My recommendation, if you're debating on leaving a team, start in February researching. Start watching. Every coach should be a tryout when you're watching a team. I can tell you right now, there are I can tell you wholeheartedly, I can tell you one coach truly had my son's back in all the years he's played. I know there's others out there that would have his back. But I know there's one coach, I've watched him fight for my son on the sideline. Even got a yellow card over it because he disagreed with the call from the ref. Because the ref kept on calling a foul on my son that was not a foul in that coach's eyes. Those are the coaches that you should be looking at. It's not the coach yelling at the ref and getting a yellow card. It's a coach fighting for something he believes in because he believes the player is right and will stand up for your player against everyone. We as parents will do anything to protect our players. Our coaches should have that same drive and want for our players. As I'm wrapping this all up, we as parents need to focus on, if they're young, are they getting the true foundation they need? If they're a little bit older, is their foundation there, or do we need to go back and rebuild their foundation? Now, if they're older, over the age of 12, is their foundation truly there, or are we trying to force them into a level of play that they're not ready for? Go research any major soccer player out there. Majority of them have been rejected by some form of soccer in their journey. I think Henry Kane was told that he'll never be good enough, who's one of the big names on the English team. Vardy, I think is how you pronounce his name. He never gave up on his dream of playing soccer and made his English Premier League debut like at 25 or 26 years old. If you start following these players and giving your players the players to truly look up to, it will create an environment for them to understand that they don't have to be perfect, that it's okay to make mistakes. We as parents can back off and give our players the room they need to breathe with the right amount of encouragement. And as we go back and figure out the next phase of everything, we can look at what we're doing next with our kids, what's important to us. And at the end of the day, are we building our players to be strong, healthy players? Because this game will eat them up. As Soccer Dave said to me, if we can teach them to survive the game, we can teach them to survive the sport. And it took me a long time to like digest that. I don't know if he said it in an interview or in my episode or something he posts on social media, but it was something that resonated with me very hard. I think he said it on one of his Instagram posts, and it made me think, because at the end of the day, if they can survive the game, if we can teach them to survive the game so they can survive the sport later, and the sport is the business side. If we can teach them to be solid in what they're doing on the pitch, hopefully their foundation's strong enough when they go to that next phase, college or pro or whatever it may be, that they have the resources already built in place. If you truly love my podcast and want me to do this more, give me some great reviews on this. I know this is a very boring episode, but I'm excited. It's my 76th episode. It's a milestone for me. I hope you guys will stick around for the next several episodes, the next coming up week. If you guys skip this one, I'm not offended. But if you guys truly love this, give me some ratings. Like my Instagram page. Like my Facebook page. I'm going to start trying to interact with everyone more. But give me some reviews. Give me positive or negative. I'll take it. But reach out to me, you guys. My email is on the Instagram and the Facebook. It's chatbythepitch@gmail.com. Ask questions. If you want me to interview someone, give me someone to recommend. I will go hunt them down and pester them. Trust me, I've ran up to people in the middle of parking lots, soccer matches, kids' birthday parties, to name a few places I've ran into people to ask them to come on, pestering their friends to convince them to come on. But at the end of the day, this is for me to help you guys to have a better understanding of this. So give me, if you guys have questions, please feel free to reach out. Until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.